Welcome to the Husky Bamboo Podcast. It's aside from a podcast, meaning that it's about nothing in particular.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Husky Bamboo Podcast. This is your Husky Bamboo, Ariel. And I'm back. I didn't think I was going to do this because I had a weekend. Let me explain that, because we all had weekends, I guess. A long weekend. What I mean is that busy, because the other podcast I do, the Smart Nerd Podcast, which you can check right now on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, on this very channel where you're watching this, because, hey, you're watching me. Yeah, sorry for that. You can search that podcast as well. It's a wrestling podcast. Most is 100% dedicated to wrestling, which I don't no longer do. I don't do wrestling bit or beat in this one to save your asses, to win more people or lose people. I don't know. Seems to be on the losing side. Anyway, so due to recording that podcast, I thought that I was not going to have time to do this one. Lo and behold, that one was easy as hell to record and to edit and to publish. And it's up. It's up right now. I thought it was going to be on Monday. So I thought that today I wasn't going to record anything. So how would I be prepared to do something? Well, I'm trying to get my reps in. So meaning that I want to continually do podcasts so I can get better, so I can produce something that you guys actually would like. Now, before all of this happened, I already had an idea of what I was going to talk about this week, because I was listening to Uncle Joey's joint, Joey Coco Diaz's new podcast. And he was talking about, you know, he was like giving advice on how to start a podcast. And well, this one isn't a new podcast per se. I mean, we're now knee deep into the 26th episode, so it's been running a while now. So and we're doing one weekly out of these, are the Husky Bamboo podcasts. But he gave an advice on how to, you know, do these things. And one of the things he said was like, you know, tell stories, tell stuff that happened to you. I can't do a Joey Diaz accent because I'm not him, and I don't want to make fun of the man, because he is a far better comedian than I would ever even dream to be. Though, I did post this week that my childhood were influenced by George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Andrew Dice Clay, and Jesus Christ, I'm missing one. Sam Kennison. Yeah, that's a very nice group of people listening to when you're a kid, 8 years old or five. Yeah, that's a nice group of people to listen to and take advice from. You know, their accumulative life's experiences for sure would lead you to the righteous path, right? Anyway. So thinking about that, going back to memory lane, going back to things that I thought about, well, I can think about a few things. Like, the person that I've learned most in my life is my dad. And my dad, for better or for worse, he's been a great teacher. And what I mean about that is that he has taught me what to do and what not to do. And the things that I've learned from him of what not to do is seeing how he has fucked up. Now, I'm not calling shit on my dad. God knows that he has changed his ways and become a better person now. Far more better person than what he used to be. But, you know, back in the day, he wasn't, you know, a good man, to say the least. Womanizing. You know, he's the reason why, he's one of the reasons why I still believe in God. And if you listen to one of my older podcasts where I state the reasons why I still believe in God, I mention him, because his life was transformed, and it was transformed for real. Now, is he perfect? Is he a holy man of God? Or does he stop cursing? No, I mean, he has his imperfections. He has his things still that he has to deal with. But compared to the guy he used to be back in the day, he is a saint right now. I mean, I can't complain about his change in life right now. But what I can say about him, to keep it a short version of a very long life, he was a wild man. He was a wild man. He did some shit that, well, he was your typical Dominican. womanizing, drinking, whoring out. Had a reputation about him. He was raised in a neighborhood called Los La Joya, and if you're Dominican and from Santiago and you know what La Joya is, especially back in the 60s and 70s, it's like, say no more, fam. Say no more. I know exactly what you're talking about. He was a pimp. Not an actual pimp, not a literal pimp, but a pimp in terms of personality. He will beat a fucker up. He will steal money. He will do whatever he do. He was a hoodlum. He was a kind of a hoodlum, but a good-hearted hoodlum. Aren't they all? Anyway, he was a madman. And you would think that, you know, once a man settles down and, you know, lays a family and has kids and starts growing a business, that, you know, his whoring days are behind him. No, my daddy, it just was in his prime. He was in his prime. And he proceeded, as Mr. Joey Diaz would say, to sling dick to, north, south, east, and west, every, you know, side of the coordinates, where have you. By the time he converted to Christianity, because he was kind of an atheist, agnostic mostly, was semi-communist, my dad was. By the time he converted, he admitted to a 12-year-old me that he had 7 side chicks. And can you imagine the thought in my head, which, because you got to understand, I was an innocent little boy in the sense that I didn't know what the fuck was going on in the streets. I didn't know. I mean, I knew there was something wrong with him because obviously he came home drunk every freaking night of the house. Every night he came in drunk and he came in late. And my mother was always telling us, pray for your dad, pray for your dad. And when I mean pray, is like pray with a rosary, because my mom was hardcore Catholic. And my mom was always like, pray for your dad, pray for your dad, pray for your dad, pray for your dad. And I was like, well, why should I pray for him? I mean, I still got him. He's still around. I mean, I would like to see him more, but I don't. He's still around. He's there, I guess. And then, you know, as I grew up, then it dawned on me, like, how many weekends did I actually have with him? How many times did I actually go out with him and, you know, spend some time with him? Not that many. And then you think about, like, for example, and this is something he revealed then afterwards, after the fact. Like, for example, every time I wanted to see a Jack Veneno match, just Google him if you don't know. That's wrestling lore here in the Dominican Republic. That's a wrestling god here in the Dominican Republic. And kids of my age, well, men now, but when we were kids, you would give right arm and a leg just to watch a Jack Veneno match. As kind of shitty as they were, I know some of you will be like, how fucking dare you besmirch the name of Jack Veneno? Not Jack Veneno's matches, but the other dudes. And that's here, here, there. And I told that I was going to talk about wrestling, but here I creeped it in. I'm all over the place. So yeah, when I wanted to see a Jack Veneno match, me and my brother, because we're both wrestling marks, we were telling our dad, like, go and please take us to see Jack Veneno. You know, he came here in Santiago every Saturday when we were kids back in the mid-80s. And he always had a reason not to take us, but he would send one of his employees to take us there. And then he explained, you know why I never took you guys? Because I was busy fucking some side chicks. I had some road beef to grind, and you guys were killing my mood. I mean, I wanted my dick hard, and you guys were just making it low and loose. So what the hell? You were cock blocking, little fucks. So. All this information, mind you, just dropping it like matter of factly, like I'm a dude, like I'm hanging out with him and I would understand. I'm his son. I'm 12. I don't know what the fuck is going out to the streets and getting your dick wet. I don't know. I don't understand none of that shit. But here he is throwing it matter of factly, like I'm a bro, like I understand. Yeah, like I get you, fam. I understand. Now I do, kinda. Although I've never been that kind of person because of the example. See, as we go back again, like I saw what the shit he did. I understood that it wasn't right. You know, it wasn't the right move to go. And I understood that this is not the lifestyle you will want to live, especially if you have kids and whatnot. Not unless you give a shit about the kids. Eventually he did. Eventually he did give a shit. He came in drunk. I mean, I already told you the story of the time he came in so drunk he didn't even know who the hell we were. And also, oh yeah, the thing that helped me with my self-procrastinating and self-defecation is that as a kid, he had very little faith in me, or to none whatsoever. I mean, like, every time I asked him a question, he was like, you know how some fathers would think like 2 minutes before they respond to their kids and we're like, no, son, you shouldn't be asking that type of question, or, you know, try to lay you low. My father, that filter has ever existed in his vocabulary. One time I asked him a question and he straight up answered me, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. Shut the fuck up and don't bother me again. I'm not even exaggerating. That was not even an exaggeration. That is verbatim what he said in Spanish. Like, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. What the fuck are you thinking about? What is your frame of thought? Shut up and think of something more intelligent to ask me. God damn it. Don't waste my goddamn time. And the other thing that confirmed it, I was like, because you got to understand, I was a shy kid. I was like, the most I'm an introvert, but back then you couldn't get two sentences out of me. You couldn't get two syllables out of me. So when I converted to Christianity, well, evangelical side, because I was always a Catholic due to my mom. When I went and followed my dad to the evangelical side of things, I started talking like sentences and citing biblical verses because I started a hunger reading, and he was like amazed, like, holy shit, this little fuck can retain information and like quote it verbatim, like, fuck. And he even told me, like, damn, I'm surprised at you. I mean, your grandfather from my mother's side, mind you, not my grandfather from my dad's side, because that's a whole nother story which I will not talk about right now. That will take two podcasts to talk about that. But from my mother's side, he was the man who practically raised me, because both of my parents were working all day, and my grandparents from my mother's side were the ones that took care of me and my other cousins from my mother's side. So he had what we call here in the DR Akonani, taking care of all damn kids, like 16 kids, I don't know. And they were taking care of all of us at the same time. And so this man practically raised me, and I was very attached to him, to the point that when we moved from New York to the Dominican Republic, I cried my ass off for a month because I missed my grandfather. I missed him because I was like, this is the guy who's always been here for me. And so to say that my grandfather was in high esteem is an understatement. And when my dad saw, going back to the story, because I had to clear all that shit up, going back to the story of my dad seeing me quote biblical verses verbatim, long ass verses, he was like, man, I gotta tell you, I'm very impressed. Your grandfather from your mother's side always said that, like, you weren't going to amount to much. And now I see that you are actually smart, so good for you. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, because I was like, wait a minute. The grandfather that actually shows affection to me says thought that I was a no good piece of shit, that I was never going to amount to anything because I was so stunted emotionally, that I was never going to grow up and be anything in life. Well, that's nice to know. That's good information to know. That's, yeah, that's helpful, I guess. So that's the type of bringing up that I have from my father's side. You know, not the most nurturing man on earth, but he meant well, I guess. I mean, I have a billion stories with my dad. I mean, things that he told himself. This is not that I'm going behind his back and saying these things behind his back. These are things that he has said publicly as testimony in churches. I would know that some of you would right now be like, where the church is at? So I can hear that shit. Well, that's when they invite him. I don't know when they invite him to tell these stories, but you know, it's always a fun time, entertaining time to listen to those stories. Another thing, one of the stories that I can tell you because I lived it, and I'm going to throw myself first on the bus. People are humans. We have necessities, and sometimes we have no control of certain situations that happen to us, mainly bowel movements. There's certain bowel movements that... Yeah, that's such a fucking curve. we're talking about your dad shitting and shit. We're now going to talk about actual shit. Yes, we are going to talk about actual shit. bowel movements. Yes. You know, body betrays you sometimes. You want to keep the thing in there, but it decides that it has to be expelled by any means, by any cost. And I learned the hard way that... combining orange juice and milk is not a good idea. I learned the hard way. This happened as an adult, mind you. Well, does 25 count as an adult legally? I mean, in terms of legal papers, yes, but in actual reality, I don't know. I'm sweating like a pig here because there's no air conditioner here. So if you see my glasses, you know, you can't see my eye pupils because, is fogging up the glasses is due to that. I'm talking to the people who are watching on video. Which, by the way, managed to fix. I won't bore you with the technical details. so, yeah. I was like 25 and I wanted to see a movie. And back then, I didn't have much responsibility. I was already living here. That happened here in DR. And so I was like, fuck it. I want to go to the movie theater. So I didn't have a car and didn't have a driver's license. Respectful of the law, a law-abiding citizen as I was, I decided to walk. Walk from my house to the movie theater, nearest movie theater. And that's a good 35-minute walk. And which I did. I walked there. And once I got to the movie theater, the intestinal battle began. And I felt that revolution starting, and I knew that shit was about to go down in the most figurative of senses. And I proceeded to go to the bathroom, and I sharted like 18 pounds, and it got all over my underwear. I threw that shit away in the bathroom. Everybody that went in, if you know something about Dominicans, you know how expressive we are. And every time somebody went in the bathroom, it's like, holy shit, who died? This is very entertaining. And I know that you're holding in your internal things that you're listening to right now. You're holding your stomach right now in revolt listening to all this shit. And all I can say is, you're welcome. But hey, I'm not the only one who sharted himself. I can tell you one of the best stories of sharting. It was from my dad. So back when my dad converted and he started, he helped to start a church back in his hometown in La Canela, his old hood where he was born at. Not La Jolla. La Jolla is in the city. La Canela is on the farm side, very far away from the city. So you even have to cross a couple of rivers to get there. Anyway, he wanted to found a church there to help people, you know, find God and whatnot. Our pastor prayed about it, and he felt that was a good idea. The church is still there, by the way, to this day. And we had services in a farm, in an actual legit farm. And the place where we had those services, the church is there right now. So that's a nice little story right there. But the thing is that in order to help to bring in more people, we brought people from our church. And my dad back then had a pickup truck, an Isuzu pickup truck, a wine, dark wine color. And he brought a lot of people from different places from Santiago. And Santiago is pretty big, not big as Santo Domingo, but it's big. And people lived in very different places of the city. So my dad went to take them all after going from church, because we all met in a place and we all went from there. And then my dad would take every person to their house, to the front of their house, actually, and leave them there. So it was a very long trip, and we got home like close to 11-ish p.m., close to noon. Well, that was nice. Anyway, we went and took everyone, and as courtesy, because there were some women there, I left them to sit on the front, and I would sit in the in the bed of the truck. We were allowed to do so back in the day in DR. There was no biggie thing in security. Like, you're allowed to ride in the bed of the truck. Yeah, like even standing. I enjoyed it. I loved it. So I rode in the bed of the truck with other kids, and we were talking whatnot. And the ladies would sit in the front with Dad. Dad was clean back then. He didn't do anything. It was a straight and narrow. So my dad took everyone out, and I was the last one to go on front with him to sit in with him in the front seat of the truck, because it's just just the front side and then the bed of the truck. It's not one of these two that look like a Jeep but with a bed. No, it's just one set of seats on this truck, this Isuzu truck that he had. He afterwards, after the fact, told me that he had held this shart for the entire trip. I don't know what he took in La Canela that made him this sick, but the smell that came out of that vehicle. Oh, and by the way, air conditioning. And he would not roll down the windows. He would not roll down the windows. He would not do so. He refused to, like, left the AC on in full blast with that smell from hell, that the Satan's armpits ball sack coming out of there. And I just had to stick that fucking smell for extra 15 minutes till we got home. And when we got home, finally, mercifully, he got off. I didn't say anything, because what the fuck am I going to say? Dad, you just shit yourself? I kept my mouth shut, but obviously he did. And when we finally got home and he got off, the stain he fucking left on that seat. The shit I will not forget. He left the fucking chocolates of chocolate stains on that seat. It was horrendous. It was horrible. Oh my God. And afterwards he was like, yeah, I shit myself. Oh, it was glorious. It was glorious. Glorious, I tell you. Anyway, that was my dad's sharding story. I will further avoid making more fun of him to the chance that he might actually listen to these things and might want to plot my instantaneous death, which he could any moment, like just like that. Okay, going back, strolling again through memory lane and remembering shit. You know, I was talking about in the beginning, one of the reasons I still believe in God is my dad, for the change that happened in his life. And also Because to say it in a way, I mean, I've talked about my friend Vladimir, that God audibly talked to him. That's what he said. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying what he said. But I've never heard the audible voice of God. But there are times in my life that I can say that God talked to me in a very direct way, although not audibly. One such time that I can remember is when I was in love with a chick. I'll leave it there. I'll avoid any further information just to protect the innocent. And I was very, very much in love with this girl, but I was a pussy. I did not want to tell her how I felt, because if I did, then she would find out. And, you know, the fear of rejection and all that, as already stated, I was a pussy. So I didn't want to go play that card and have my feelings hurt, because that card has been played on me before up to that point in my life. And knowing what I know now, I would have just gone for it. And if nothing happened, I would understand now. But back then it was, you know how you put it when you're a kid, like you think that this is end all be all, but it's not. Anyway, and there was a Sunday service in the church we were going, and this man was preaching. He was a very godly man in the sense that, you know, he had a reputation about him. Whether that reputation is true or not, I don't know. But to the point that I knew him at that moment in time, he was in the straight and narrow. He was a legit man of God. And he was a man that confessed by himself that God talked to him. Now, I'm skeptical in some senses of people who always claim that God talks to them, because that's the greatest sign of insanity that you can tell right there, once a person says that God talks to me. Does Baphomet talk to as well, or is it just limited to God? How about Odin? How about any other deity from the past that you wish to add? And how about Zeus? How about, I don't know, you know, pick your poison. I don't know. Xenu? I don't know. But in this particular case, he held some water, because I prayed inside my head. I never said it out loud, but inside of my head, in my heart, I prayed to God, like, because I was desperate for this girl. I was crazy about her. And I was like, God, if this is true, if this girl is the one, if this is the one you want for me, I want you to talk to the preacher as he's talking right now. And I want you to tell me through him, yes or no. But I don't want you to tell me that it's me. You know, like, don't put me out in public and say, you, young man, you, the one with the thick-ass glasses. Just give it the most indirectly, directly possible, the way that I can understand that it's that you're talking to me. And finishing that sentence, me finishing that sentence in my heart, the dude who is preaching proceeds to say, there's a young man here that is asking God whether if it's his will or not, if it's yes or no regarding a sentimental issue. And I turned, I'm pretty white, as you can see if you're watching video, I'm fairly white. I turned into Casper the Friendly Ghost, because that was verbatim exactly what I asked. But the response I got was like, love is suffering, love is everlasting, love is like, okay. And it's something that I still don't understand to this day, but I mean, it was close enough. It was pretty fucking close. So I attribute that to God. And the other time that I felt that God kind of talked to me was I was already dating my now current wife. So this has been many years later, after the first story that I just told you. I was going to go out on a date with my now current wife, back then my girlfriend. And I was getting ready, getting dressed up. And I had some petty cash on me, and not much. And when I was getting dressed, I felt as closest to hearing a voice, like a thought that would never truly escape my head, that was just saying, put that money that you have in your wallet, put it inside your socks and on your shoes. Put it now. Do it now. Do it now. And this thought, while I was drinking and while I was dressing up, I was like, okay, whatever the fuck this is, fuck you. I don't give a shit. Fuck you. This is stupid. Why the fuck would I put goddamn money in my socks? For God's sake. Why the fuck would I do that? Well, I would find out in a few. We went out. We had a date. Not a date. We just, you know, hanging out. And we were going to go out somewhere. And then we stopped by El Monumento, the monument, infamous monument in Santiago. You can check it out on Google. Pretty big. A lot of resting areas. And we went there to Chulier. You know, little kissy kiss. That we didn't know is that at that time, the place was infested with fucking thieves. We got jacked. I don't know, like 7 kids armed with, knives and what any other kind of cutting instruments showed up and grabbed her and grabbed me. And I don't know what the hell came over me. And I calmed them down. And I was like, okay, nothing's going to happen here, guys. What do you want? And we'll give it to you and we'll just leave in peace. And the other guys were like, no, let's stab him. And the leader of the group was like, no, he's cool. He's cool. He gets it. We're not going to do anything. He gets it. He's cool. So okay, I'll tell him, okay, guys, what do you want? No, give us your money. Give us your phone. Give us everything you got, anything valuable. So I was like, okay, here's my wallet. Give it to me. But please let me keep my documents because I need that shit and it's going to take money and you guys are not going to need it anyways. You're just going to throw it out somewhere. So just let me keep my documents, you know, my ID and every shit. And the rest you can throw away and do whatever the hell you want. You can have my phone. By the way, it was a piece of shit anyway. So I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And I was going to school. I was going to go to school. So I had my backpack on it and I was returning some DVDs because this is back in the day when you had to rent movies and not digitally and pay Netflix. We're talking about the days where you had, you know, Blockbuster. Well, in DR, we didn't have Blockbuster. We had a thing called Mr. Movies. So, I was going to return some DVDs. And I had him on my backpack and the dude was like, what's in the backpack? And I was like, it's just books. We came from school. You want books? You can have books. Then no, we don't want goddamn books. Okay. And, when they left and I calmed my girlfriend down, my now wife, I realized like, oh shit, that warning was God. That was 100% God. I mean, what else could it be? What else could have been? So, so there you go. 2 instances where I didn't hear God, but I'm convinced that it was him talking to me. And then, but as you can say that, you know, God talked to me, then you can say that the other way around, that, there are times that you think it's God. There are times that you think that God is talking to you and it's bullshit. It's not God at all. It's you playing games with yourself and it's your emotions and it's your thoughts. And that's why, you know, I don't wholesale subscribe to the whole God talks to everyone, thing. One of the experiences that I had was an infamous trip that, I mean, I don't even know if I should tell the whole story because it's the thing is that we went, they invited us. When I say they, the church I was going to at that time received an invitation to go sing and preach to a church that is in San Cristóbal. San Cristóbal is right outside the capital, the Dominican Republic capital. It's far away in terms of a trip. So it's not an easy wham bam, thank you ma'am, let's go a little ride. No, it was like back then it was like a 2.5-hour trip, so it wasn't easy. Now when I tell you that everything, and we prayed about it, by the way, that's the thing, that's what I'm talking about in terms of thinking that you heard from God and it was actually your emotions, We prayed and we thought that this was God's will. We thought that, God's will. We're talking about days when I was very spiritual. those days are long gone. Anyway, and we thought that that was the will of God. We thought, yeah, well, of course, that's what God wants. That's what God wants us to go to this trip and preach to these people. And when I tell you that everything that can possibly go wrong went wrong, you can add to that. You cannot subtract to it. You have to add to that. It was a shit show. It was the most horrible trip I've ever been in my fucking life. Everything that went wrong went wrong. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. The vehicle, we were using an actual, not gas as in gasoline. We're talking about like propane gas vehicle with the tank in, strapped into the back because, you know, we try to save money. We put actual propane tanks in the back of our vehicles in DR, not mine. I don't do that shit. I use gasoline. But, you know, in order to save money and gas, some people do that in order to have the vehicle to run. And that vehicle, we went out and it had no gas. So we stayed in the middle of La Autopista Duarte, one of the most dangerous highways in the Dominican Republic, to get stranded on at night. And the vehicle just died on us and the road to La Vega. We had such great luck that between five people, none of us had minutes to call. And by the way, I'm saving a bunch of other shit that happened. I'm not talking about the whole thing because that would take another fucking hour. That would take a whole nother thing. I'm just going down to getting right to the end. So we tried to call people, the owner of the vehicle, because by the way, the owner of the vehicle did not came. It was a loaner. So thank you for that one. We tried to call my dad and it was just like 1 minute and we just, dad, this happened and boop. So he got a little brief message of what could have happened. And I don't remember who was the only person that had enough minutes that he called his girlfriend that stayed in Santiago. And that one person managed to call everyone that we tried to call to explain the situation, what had happened. Now, somebody went and took a tank, a gas tank, and brought it to us and managed to save the vehicle. And whoever, and they say, well, whoever wants to go home now can go with him and they'll take you home. I was like, well, fuck it, I'll leave. And I left with him. Little did I know that my father took the gas tank, the propane gas tank from a neighbor, stole it, and did the trip to La Autopista Duarte from Santiago, went over there and found dick. He found nobody because everybody had already left because nobody bothered to inform him that we already were rescued. To say the man was pissed at me is an understatement. He didn't talk to me for like 3 days and he looked at me and it was like, he looked at me and his eyes just say, my Christian conviction is prohibiting me to murder you right now. But please understand, nothing would bring me more joy in life right now than to grab your fucking head and smash it into a wall, crack a hole open, and piss on it. I got that, all that from a look. And if you understand looks, you would be 100% behind me and say, yep, I understand. I know what you're talking about. I understand. So, yeah, these are all the stories I wanted to share. So we're going to keep this one short and sweet. We're not going to make a long-ass podcast. So I hope you enjoyed those stories. I kind of did. I laughed because I'm the only one here. Still doing these things solo. But as I said, this is the way. Like Mandalorian says, this is the way. This is the way how I'm going to get better. I'm going to improve. My podcasting skills and I just getting these reps in, getting all these repetitions and learning how to do these things. If you guys are not aware, I have a TeePublic store available, and if you're watching the video, you're going to be seeing now a little video on top in the corner. I don't know where, here, there, whatever. You're going to see me scrolling through some things, you know, it's showing you the designs for t-shirts. Same designs will be are available for masks, for cups, for posters, for whatever the hell you want. And if you see a design there, they're like, ooh, I like this one. Well, the link will be available in the description under the Husky Babu links, and you can check there for the TeePublic store, and you can make your purchase there. That is a way you can help the podcast. We don't have any promotions. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have anything. We just have our balls and our desire to do this thing. So if you want to help out the podcast, if you want to help me out in terms of making these things, because this don't come cheap, you know, this equipment here, all the stuff that, you know, the light, you can see my face now, right? Yes. Oh, that costs money. So you can help us out that way. And that way you can, you know, keep producing this stuff and actually get better. So once again, thank you for listening for ranting for like 40 minutes now. And hopefully these stories are entertaining for you. And hopefully next week we can find something better to do. And speaking of next week, there might be a surprise in terms of an actual guest. So stay tuned for that. I can confirm some of that during the week. But in this meantime, thank you. This has been the Husky Babu. This has been Ariel. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can not only get the Husky Babu, you can also get the Smart Nerd Podcast. We had our podcast this week, the predictions for Hell in the Cell, which should be occurring. I don't know. Should be starting very soon as a recording time. So, thank you again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you. Please subscribe. Hit the like buttons on the YouTube. Subscribe on Spotify, on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Just follow us and help us grow. Help us make this thing better. Hopefully we can grow and enjoy each other. That did not come out well. This has been the Husky Babu, Ariel Duran. Goodbye and good luck. Bye, guys.